Most jobs reveal their duties either through their titles or job descriptions, but just like with every rule, there is an exception. We traveled to Jersey City, New Jersey for this exception. That's where being a teacher doesn't require, well, actual teaching, but instead doing work for the teachers' union. Believe it or not, there's an actual term for this practice. It's called release time. And yes, when taxpayers find out it's happening, they are not happy people about it. That's why this has become a court case, which my next guest joins us to update. He is the Director of National Litigation with the Goldwater Institute, John Bridges. How are you today, John?
Good. Thanks for having me on, Chris.
Learn more about the issues that the Goldwater Institute puts a focus on, goldwaterinstitute.org. And just as a recap, because this was an appeal of a previous very, well, oblivious to reality decision, but regarding the Jersey City school system and this concept of release time, what are the mechanics of it? What's been happening?
So for several years, the Jersey City School District has allowed two people that they hired and paid to be teachers to be released from their classroom duties entirely and then to go and work exclusively for a government union. And, of course, during that time, they received their full taxpayer-funded salaries, benefits, et cetera, but they don't report to the classroom. They instead report to union headquarters.
So have you looked at their job description or whatever electronic record is kept about them under the name, you would see the title or the job description as teacher?
Yes, because they both are teachers. They were hired as teachers. It's just that they're not working as teachers.
And this is not some under-the-table deal. This is part of a signed negotiated agreement between the schools and the Jersey City Education Association.
That's right. It's part of the collective bargaining agreement between those two parties. And interestingly, this happened throughout the state of New Jersey. The New Jersey Investigation Commission conducted a statewide survey of this just a few years ago and found that it exists in several collective bargaining agreements throughout the state. That investigation did not speak highly of the practice. In fact, it was a major red flag that this is happening so pervasively in the state.
And this is the one case here. It's Rosenbild versus Jersey City School District. Rosenbild, I believe, is a taxpayer or a parent?
A taxpayer. So in the state of New Jersey, any taxpayer who contends that their tax dollars are being spent unlawfully has standing to bring a case to stop the government from that unlawful expenditure, which is what Mr. Rosenblatt is asking to do in this case.
As far as do we know what the two salaries add up to?
Yeah, they're both over $100,000, so about $210,000 a year, or about $1.1 million over the course of the collective bargaining agreement.
So that's over $1 million of money that should be going to technically the educating of youths in a school system are instead going to bolster up a teacher's union.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it should be a controversial proposition, right? Public dollars should be spent for public purposes, not private purposes, and public employees should be expected to perform the duties they were hired to perform instead of performing duties for a private entity that has distinct and separate private interests.
As I said before, too, this is the appeal of the initial case because, well, explain to me why. I'm thinking that I certainly understand the problem with this. I'm thinking the person listening hopefully understands why this is a bad thing. What did the judge miss on this little trip to the obvious?
So the claim that our clients brought, that taxpayers brought, was that this arrangement violates the New Jersey Constitution's gift clause, which actually exists in most state constitution and says something that should be pretty obvious in our country, which is that public dollars should be allocated only for public purposes. In New Jersey, that means that every single public expenditure has to serve a public purpose, the public has to receive value for the expenditure, and the public has to control the expenditure to ensure the public purpose is accomplished. In this case, the trial judge found that this practice served a public purpose because it purportedly achieved things such as labor harmony, which I actually found interesting. Shortly after, or actually right about the time of that ruling, as you may be aware, this same government union went on strike, and Jersey City students were without public education for a period of time. So if labor peace was the objective of these release time expenditures, they certainly don't seem to be serving that purpose. There was a couple other legal findings the court made, but I think that one was erroneous, and the two others also were.
Makes me wonder if the judge's spouse and or children are teachers.
Yeah, I just don't know.
Yeah, that's. But as I said, now did the appeal go to a higher court level, or you're going on a level playing field?
So the case that was heard last week was before the New Jersey Court of Appeals, and they will have an opportunity to review the trial court's decision and determine whether to affirm it or reverse it.
I was reading some of the comments that came out of the hearing. The judges sound at least concerned, not just curious about the practice. They didn't sound totally supportive of this idea of release time.
Well, it appeared to me that the panel, like I think many people that hear of this practice or learn of this practice, were rightly skeptical, right? For the same reasons that we already talked about. I mean, it's just so axiomatic that public taxpayer funds should be put directly to public purposes, and when they're earmarked for special interests that have interests oftentimes that are totally adverse to the public, I think that offends people. And New Jersey's constitution is pretty strong on this point. There has to be safeguards that are put in place over public expenditures, and those are just totally absent in this case, which is another interesting point, Chris. These release time employees, the district doesn't control their activities. The district doesn't prohibit them from engaging in certain activities. It doesn't require an accounting of their time. It's really unlike any employer-employee relationship anywhere in the world. And for that reason, and a couple others, very plainly violates the gift clause in our view.
Wrapping up our time with John Riches, a director of national litigation with the Goldwater Institute. Goldwaterinstitute.org is their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. The Jersey City Education Association, the union, basically came up with the concept of the school can do this, pay the teachers who act as union representatives officials under a state statute for leaves of absence, which, you know, leave of absence, that's an option you do have for injury, for personal tragedy, whatever the case may be, but you have to show up at work at some point.
Right, yeah. So, interesting thing, that's the statute that you're talking about really mainly addresses cases in which somebody's actually not at work, that they're absent from work. And the panel actually raised these issues during the oral argument last week. But in this case, these employees are at work. It's just that they're not working for the district. They're working for the union. So that statute is inapplicable. And, you know, what's more, it doesn't, even assuming the statute applies, which I think is pretty plain it doesn't, but even assuming that it did, the district still has to comply with the Constitution, and what the district has no authority to do is give a gift to a private party for something that doesn't serve a public purpose, regardless of what any statute says anywhere. They still have a constitutional obligation to ensure public funds are put to public purposes.
Totally amazing. You keep on top of this issue as it develops. We'll wait for the next court issue to come about. You can probably expect if it goes against the teachers' union, they might take the next appeal term, but we will see about that as well. Follow along on this and other important issues at the Goldwater Institute website, goldwaterinstitute.org. Here's their Director of National Litigation, John Riches. John, thanks for the update on this case.
Appreciate your interest in it, and thanks for having me on.